Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your valuable, busy day to spend this next half an hour with me. It is still cold, bitter cold, icy winter here in Florissant, and yet in 3 weeks, it's the official start of spring. Oh, how I long for spring. We are all longing for the day when we can emerge from this Arctic cold. Last week, I began a very important teaching series on a subject known as the Beatitudes, which was taught by Jesus on his famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. This is very important for us as Christians, and as well for those that are seekers, that are looking for the truth, that are investigating Christianity. The Beatitudes, in many ways, characterize those qualities of those who call themselves as followers of Christ or Christians. These are the characteristic traits that identify to the world that we are Christians. The Beatitudes comes from the Latin word beatode, which really means happiness, joy. And so if there is a key in your life for happiness, contentment, and joy, it's not found in worldly pleasures, possessions, careers, any of those things, but happiness and contentment is found right here in obedient followers of Christ. These Beatitudes. Last week, we did a teaching on the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I pointed out that the word there for poor has nothing to do with materialism, poor, but spiritual poverty. Only when we recognize that we are sinners, separated from a holy God, and there is nothing in ourselves that we can do with the work of our hands to appease a holy God except to repent and come to faith in Christ, that's what it means to be poor in spirit, to recognize our spiritual poverty. Now, this week, we're going to continue on these eight Beatitudes, and this is the second Beatitude we're going to discover. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, I want to point out that these Beatitudes are like strings on a pearl. They're not separate from each other. They formulate a continuous string. They blend together. They overlap. Let me give you an example. When you recognize your spiritual poverty, blessed are the poor in spirit, when you mourn over sin and you become meek, that is disciplined, then you are one that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that you show mercy, that you are pure in heart, that you become a peacemaker. And when you've accomplished these things in your lives, the world is going to hate you. You irritate the world with all of these qualities, and that's why Jesus says in conclusion, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. And so I want to point out that they overlap. They form a unit. They're not to be understood in isolation to each other, but together. And another thing I want to point out that's very important, we do not imitate or live out these qualities by our own strength, wisdom, or power. We live out these qualities in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, on the cross in the desert, we are going to learn second Beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What does that mean, and what does that look like in the life of a believer? Well, you right away recognize that Jesus is pronouncing a blessing of happiness and joy on those that mourn. Now, this is completely antithetical to the philosophy of the world, which tells us to indulge in all carefree living, indulge in our own pursuit of happiness and pleasure apart from God, and for us to be told to mourn, we become the laughing stock of the world. Well, there's nothing to mourn about. Live up the life any way you choose. Go after all the gusto. It's a hedonistic lifestyle philosophy. And when Jesus says, blessed are those that mourn, the world considers that ridiculous. But the Bible says something very important for us, and Jesus wants us to understand. When we recognize our spiritual poverty, then we are to mourn over sin in our life. Blessed are they that mourn, that are sensitive to their sinful condition, that are sensitive to sin all around them, that we mourn over the spiritual condition of others, of our culture. And the Bible teaches us that, for instance, in James chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. James is saying to those superficial Christians who have a said faith, but not a faith that lives it out, he's saying, look, you are phony. You're false. Do something about your condition. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Get rid of the sin in your life. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be wretched and mourn and weep. And there is the mourning that Jesus is talking about, that James instructs those superficial Christians in the church. Now, another way that we are mournful is that we look at the culture around us and we're broken over the sin and how it's affected our culture, how it's desensitized the hearts of our politician, our elected officials. And the psalmist David says in Psalm 119, 136, my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. David was saying, I'm in mourning over the sin of the people and their lives all around me. Another way that we see this action of blessed are those that mourn is when Jesus himself wept over Jerusalem, that the Jewish leaders refused to recognize him as the Messiah. And as he drew near the city and he was nearing the time of his crucifixion, he looked over the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says that he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes because of their sin. Jesus wept over his city. So blessed means happy. Matthew 5 indicates this enviable state. Happy are those that are poor in spirit. Happy are those that mourn over their sin. And Jesus says, you are blessed. This is the complete opposite of the culture. Jesus is contrasting the world's idea of happiness with true blessedness, spiritual prosperity, which comes from a right relationship with God. And so blessed are they that mourn means to experience deep grief. Jesus is talking about mourning, about grief over sin. He's not talking about general mourning of the loss of a loved one or mourning about some kind of imperfection in our lives. He says we are to mourn and be grievousome, broken over sin. And that's what Jesus is getting at here in the Sermon on the Mount, that we take care to be sensitive to sin. If we try to hide our sin, are justified before God, we will never know the blessing or the comfort that comes from a pure heart. When David tried to hide his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, it wasn't until he mourned over his sin, that he recognized his brokenness, that he experienced true healing and restoration from God. In these Beatitudes, Jesus is reminding his disciples that they cannot seek happiness the way the world does. True joy is not found in selfish ambition, excuses, or self-justification. An enviable state of blessedness will come to you when you mourn over your sin. And the Bible says, these are the ones I look on with favor, God says, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. When we agree with God about how bad our sin is and we repent of it and seek his power to walk away from it, Jesus promises the comfort of the holy sin. And the good news is, when we have trusted in Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing, we no longer stand condemned. We no longer wallow in guilt and shame. We realize that we stand in a right relationship before God. We're justified. So those who learn to mourn over their own sin, we really find the heart of God. An intimate fellowship with God is the very foundation of happiness. Let me give you an example of what God would say to our culture about mourning over sin. We are all aware now that more than 44 Democrats voted in favor of not extending medical care and rescue from those babies that are aborted and survive an abortion. And they're very militant that this is a woman's right, and they are going to vote in favor of the woman's choice. Just last year in June, activist Martha Plimpton spoke at a Shout Your Abortion event in Seattle. And she bragged about having her first abortion at a Seattle Planned Parenthood. And there was a loud shout and a yay in the crowd. They erupted in applause that this woman is not feeling bad or remorseful over the death of her child, but she's rejoicing in abortion. And really what you're seeing in our culture is treating abortion like stand-up comedy. And there's nothing funny to be celebrated or joked about, but this is what our culture does. In complete retrospect of mourning over the sin of murder by taking the life of an infant because they decide that it's their moral right to abandon taking care of that baby because it's not convenient for them, instead of mourning over the sin of death and murder, they're rejoicing. They're shouting out their abortion. It's horrible. Comedian Louis C.K. thought about abortion in his stand-up comedy. And he said, well, abortion is exactly like taking a S, and I won't say what he said, or it isn't. And the crowd laughed, or it's killing a baby. It's one of those two things, he continues. I don't think it's like killing a baby. Well, I think it's a little like killing a baby. The crowd laughs again. Okay, it's 100% killing a baby. A comedian using his platform of comedy to joke about abortion. And the Bible says, blessed are those that mourn over their sin. When you have decided to rejoice and to brag about your sin, the judgment of God will bring you to your knees. And what Jesus is saying to us, we need to be sensitive to the destructive power of sin in our culture around us. We need to be like David, to weep over those people who have forsaken the law of God. It is so sad how people have treated God's law. And right now, I want us to hear a song about how God can show mercy and forgiveness when we mourn over sin. This is Lauren Daigle. If I can get the soundbite to work, it's a wonderful song. Thank you. That is the beautiful worship music of Lauren Daigle and How Can It Be? It is a song that is rejoicing and asking the question of how, God, can you be so merciful to us when we have broken your law? We are learning today from the life-changing words of Christ how we can acquire true joy and happiness in the Christian life, that it is not found in our careers, that is not found in our status, the money that we make, but it is found in obedience to what God says to do, to be happy, to be joyful, to be blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What are ways that we can do what Jesus says? Well, here are a few ways that you can begin the practice of living the Beatitudes in your life, that we name those particular sins before God's throne in prayer. We declare what they are. When we read the Bible, we let the Word of God show us those areas of our life that grieves and offends Him. And then, as the second step, we show heartfelt sorrow over those sins. You take a long, hard look at what this sin cost Jesus. Our sins are what nailed him to the cross, and it produces spiritual mourning. And in spiritual mourning, you begin to have that state of humility. Deep, heartfelt sorrow helps you become more poor in spirit. You see your inadequacy, that nothing you can do in your own strength will please a holy God, but only by the power of His Spirit in your life. And when we name our sin and feel sorrow about it, that action humbles us, and it gives us momentum to come before our God to confess and depend on Him. And it gives us hope when we realize that, how can it be? He has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. It produces hope and faith in our walk. When we mourn over our sins, seeing them for what they are, you can just get so despaired until you remember that when God shines His light on your sins, His great purpose in doing that is to lead you to Christ, who's the friend of sinners. And in Him we find hope. Hope is that signature mark of mourning, and it arises from faith in Christ, and it recognizes everything He accomplished on the cross for us. Spiritual mourning helps us to forsake sins. There is a real power and a benefit in this beatitude about spiritual mourning, and you do this on a daily basis. It gives you the strength to overcome that power of sin that has seemingly defeated you, and you take it to the cross where there is great power and great forgiveness for you and I. We are discovering the blessings of the Beatitudes. And today we learned about when Jesus talked about mourning over sin, what that means in our Christian life. You know, as I think about today's lesson, I think about my own walk with the Lord, and I am despaired over those patterns of sin in my life that has caused despair and hopelessness for me. And my desire is to overcome these sins and to not let them cripple or defeat me, but help me to see how powerful the cross is in forgiving me, and help me to see that these are sins that are hindering me in the race that is set before us. The Bible says, don't let the power of sin hinder you in the race, in your race for serving the Lord. Well, today on the cross in the desert, we've seen great benefit and great power in this beatitude. We've learned what it means to be poor in spirit, and today we learned what it means to mourn over sin. This leads me to the confession that we need to weep and mourn over the sin right now, especially of our culture, which is a culture of death. in the life of an unborn baby. And when we weep over our culture and mourn over the sin of this culture and are broken by it, only then will God hear our cries and bring healing to our land and bring forgiveness for a culture that has completely abandoned the law of God when it comes to the life of an unborn. It is so sad. And so I want to thank you this morning for joining me on the cross in the desert and learning today the power and the cleansing of mourning over sin. We're going to continue every Thursday here teaching on the Beatitudes, and then on Monday will be my normal program about dealing with human rights in Iran and the persecuted church. Thank you so much. God bless you for joining me today. I will see you next Monday on the cross in the desert.
High and stormy gale.